Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
It's John P. with Blood of the Lamb. It's 28 minutes before 2 o'clock, 28 minutes before top of the hour right here on Radio Pulpit. A big thank you to Man Chap here, huh? Thank you so, so much in our Thursday edition of Level Up. And I hope that was very helpful for you. If you feel stuck in what you are doing in your career, I think we all from time to time find ourselves in that space, and I really hope this was very, very helpful moving forward. Thank you, Tisha. We appreciate your time. Thank you so, so much. We get into our money matters this afternoon right here on Heart to Heart. We are joined on the line, on Zoom, by Tendo Ko, creator and financial coach at Money Sense. Tendo, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. Tendo, good afternoon. All right. Tendo, unmute yourself. Tendo. All right, we'll sort it out and continue. The plan is to connect with Tendo via Zoom for our chat this afternoon. I see your mic is not on. All right, we will go live in no time. We will go live in no time. Tendo, good afternoon. Can you hear me now? Tendo, good afternoon. Are you able to hear me? Okay, all right. Okay, let's do this. Let's take a little bit of a breather, come back, and try to sort that out so that we can continue with our money matters.
Golf time is fun time. What better way to enjoy yourself while supporting a worthy cause and gaining valuable exposure for your business? Join Radio Pulpit at Wingate Park Country Club on the 8th of April for a fun time and networking, followed by a sociable dinner. Tee off is at 11 a.m. with a shotgun start. To register your four-ball team or enlist as a sponsor, contact Ephraim on 082-802-5833. Visit our website at radiopulpit.co.za or send an email to gospel@radiopulpit.co.za.
It's Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Let's try that again. Tendo, good afternoon. Tendo, can you hear me now? Tendo? Okay. Tendo, are you able to hear me? All right. Yeah, no. Tendo? I can hear something. Just not you. Tendo? Good afternoon. I can hear a
sound. Hear me?
Oh. Tendo? All right. Our connection is just not allowing us to be great. Tendo, can you hear me now? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mpo. How are you?
Oh, finally.
Yo. I was starting to think, is it the internet? Is it load shedding in Africa? What is going on?
Oh, blame it on us. Blame it on us. Blame it on us, won't you? Are you good?
I'm very well.
Recording
thank
in
you.
Progress.
Lovely.
How are you?
No, I'm very well. Thank you. I'm good.
Great stuff.
Thank you so, so much. So today we're talking about something that I'm very passionate about, if you like. Excited. And I feel like you can never talk about this enough. It's something we've spoken about in the past, but I feel like it's just so, so important from my personal experience that you can never talk about it enough. Emergency funds.
Yes. It is so critical. I think I actually have a personal story about how, you know, having an emergency fund basically saved me, from really not necessarily losing everything, but just just losing, you know, the things that I would ordinarily need. So yeah, very, 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 very important. Mm. Very important fund to have in place.
Absolutely, absolutely. Maybe let's start here. What is an emergency fund and why should one have it? The assumption, because sometimes we always assume that everybody knows and understands and has one, but it's not always the case.
Exactly, exactly. So maybe let's start with the why to have an emergency fund in the first place. For me personally, I have it because I think it just gives me peace of mind to just know that I have a stash somewhere. If anything that is an emergency happens, I know there is something somewhere that's waiting for me to finance it, right? Mm-hmm. And also you want to avoid digging into your debt to service any emergency that may occur, because let's face it, emergencies do occur, right? And if you think about what an emergency fund is, I want you to imagine a sunny day, like a very hot, 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 hot day, or a rainy day, right? This is basically an umbrella for that day that you know is coming, and all you need to do is to prepare for it by just putting money away in a safe place, in a safe account somewhere, so that when it does happen, you are basically ready. I actually even Googled for the very first time the definition of an emergency impo. And it says it is something serious. That is what the Oxford Dictionary says. It says an emergency is something serious and it is something unexpected.
Yeah.
And if you think about something that's serious and something that's unexpected, this is basically money that you are putting aside for, let's say, repairs and maintenance for for your house or your car. Because again, if you think about what you use your car for, you use your car to go to work, to make this income that sustains you and your family. If, for instance, you have a medical aid or you have a medical emergency and you can't fund it with your medical aid and you need to top up, right? You need to be well. You need to be functioning in order for you to even generate income in the first place. So you would need money that is stashed away somewhere to be able to help you out when the emergency happen. And another one which is very close to home, which is very topical, which has become very topical during the thick of COVID. I think now we're sort of recovering through COVID, was the loss of income. So when I qualified as a chartered accountant, when I was still living in South Africa, I decided, okay, I'm going on a work secondment to the US. I want international work experience. So I took an 18-month contract, right? Very risky, the biggest risk of my life.
Sure.
Left for the US, and a year in, COVID happened.
Sure.
And it was the scariest thing, yes. And I remember having calls every single week, you know, town hall calls with the with the company execs, and they were just preparing us for the inevitable, which was to discontinue our contract, because we're not full-time employees, right? We're there for a short period of time, and there was really no need during that recession, during that time, to keep foreign talent, if I can put it that way, on their payroll. Yeah. So come May, they told us, listen, we are literally, what is the word, repatriating you back to your country.
Yay.
You remember that time?
Yay.
You remember that time when the Boeing landed from Wuhan, China, with the first candidates? Yeah. So that's what happened. But fortunately, a year into that, my husband and I had started doing a course with Dave Ramsey, which I am now a certified coach for. And he taught about the importance of having an emergency fund, right? Just putting money away. We read that book. We read The 7 Baby Steps. And I think as time goes on, we'll actually start unpacking them, because I feel so passionate about it. Mm. I feel like it can really help people, right? So we read that book. The first step that we did was we decided we were going to have an emergency fund. At that time, we were living separately. I was in the US, he was in the UK. So we decided that separately we were going to have an emergency
fund. So this was prior to COVID?
Yes, this was prior to COVID.
Yes.
This was prior to COVID. It's as though, you know,
you
the Holy
ahead.
Spirit was preparing us, if you know what I mean, and we obeyed. which is, again, a very important piece to this puzzle, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So I put my, my emergency fund into my home loan, into my bond, because I thought if I lose my income, the only thing that is critical for me to stay alive is to making sure that my home loan is paid, because, you know, I have a husband who will take care of the rest. So yeah, that's literally what saved me. That was my saving grace when the work opportunity basically ended and I needed to sort of live for the next 6 months without knowing where I was going to get income from, because then I moved to the UK and I needed to wait for a work permit, because you can't work in a foreign country without a work permit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sure. And this obviously the preparation, you guys, well, I call it preparation, but,
yes,
you know, that then sustained you at the time, just before.
It did. So his income was able to sustain all of our needs. And at least then we didn't have to, you know, now pay for a home loan that's sitting in South Africa from, you know, the scarce resources that we had just between the two of us, if you know what I mean. So it really, really helped out.
Sure. So nice. That is so amazing. And how much is enough? Because at times, you know, one will estimate it with your income, you know, that it has to at least sustain you for a couple of months. How much is really enough in one's emergency funds?
Yeah. And I mean, sorry, I have a sore
no
throat.
No worries.
Yeah. So the number is very subjective, and really it depends on your personal circumstances and how your financial landscape looks like. Like I said, at the time, I knew that my biggest expense, right, was my mortgage, because I had the employer who was paying for almost every other thing, right? So my biggest expense was the mortgage, which is what informed, you know, the number that I was saving on a month-to-month basis. But if we were to bring it back to home, right, to the viewers, if you have a budget, right, and I have a very comprehensive video on how to budget with even a free budgeting template that can help you start the journey of budgeting on my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is called Money Sense with Miss T, and it basically helps you to have a money system in place, right? And a money system is basically you telling your money where to go. It's basically you creating rules around your money. And what do I mean by creating rules? With your money, right, you need to purpose in your heart every single month that a portion of my income, let's make an example that I think all of us Christians will understand. 10% of my income will go towards giving / tithe, right? 50% will go towards my needs, 10% will go towards my savings and expenses, and then another 10% will go towards my wants. I hope I did my maths correctly there. All of that should sum up to 100, right, mathematically speaking. So once you have that, right, you need to then sit down and compress this budget and say, okay, let me basically identify in my budget what my needs are, right? And as a coach, when I help you basically map out what your financial landscape looks like, I help you define what your needs are, the things that you cannot live without, the things that if your income was to cease right now, they need to be serviced, they need to be paid, right? Mm-hmm. And this, again, looks very different from person to person. I had this exercise with one professional. She's a candidate attorney, and she was telling me that, having a weave and nails and having the nails done is critical. For me, I could not care less. You know, it does not matter at all to me. But for her, it's a need. That line item went under her needs bucket. But just to give basics around what your needs are. Your needs, there are four foundational or fundamental needs that we all have. We all have the need for shelter, housing, right? We all have a need for transport, so to get from point A to point B. We all have a need for food and for clothes. Where we decide to buy all of these things is another story for another day, right? Mm-hmm. But again, just identify what your needs are. So let's say in the budget now, we've got needs up to 10,000 rand. That is how much it will cost me to live my life, right? If I don't have income, my needs cost 10,000 rand. So have an understanding of that number. Now, you want to take that number and you want to multiply it either by 3, by 6, or by 9, right? And 3, 6, 9 is basically the number of months. 3 months, 6 months, or 9 months. And again, this depends on your appetite. But what you want to do is to start by just raising that 10,000 rand for that first month, which is, I understand very well, a very daunting and a very scary, you know, exercise to do. Because when you look at 10,000 rand at face value, when you're probably earning 20, 25, it feels like it's a lot. It's a lot of money. But again, pace yourself. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon, right? You want to pace yourself. You want to be patient with yourself, and you want to slowly, basically accumulate this money and put it away. So very, very important. Compress the budget. I don't know if there's a word, Mpu, you can tell me, is there such a word called disconsider?
There is now.
You English people. Yes. So here you are not looking at your savings, you're not looking at your giving, you're not looking at your wants, you are just focusing on your needs, because that is what you will need to service you in case of an emergency. And in this case, we're making the assumption that you have lost your job, which is basically loss of income. The other thing that you don't want to forget, Mpo, which is what a lot of us forget, is you want to make sure that you include your insurance in your emergency fund, in that needs bucket that we're talking about, that we are trying to define. Your life cover, your funeral cover, your car insurance, whatever the case is, because the insured event is not going to not happen because when you've lost your income again, right? The other thing is your minimum installments for all your debts. You want to make sure that you're financing your debts. So you want to make sure that you factor that into your needs bucket. Why? Because if you default, you know, it's going to negatively impact your credit score. And when you need financing later on in life, it may be detrimental to you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sobering indeed. Sobering.
Yes. Sobering. So it is the needs conversation.
Yeah.
Needs. What are my needs? If everything was to cease today, how much does it cost for me to basically lead my family? Understand that number and try and raise that number, basically.
And I know, I don't know how to put this, but sometimes you'll be told, and I hope I'm not off-ramping, but sometimes you'll be told to, or rather, obviously it's advised, but on a certain percentage of your income, how much, you know, of a percentage of my income should I be living on ideally?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of school of thought around this. But the one that I like, or the one that I've adopted, over the years, depending on what my financial goals are, I've tweaked. It's called the 50-30-20 rule, which basically says 50% of your income should go towards your needs.
Okay.
30% your wants, and 20% your giving, your savings, and your investments, right? Okay. So that also then allows you, or helps you, in a way, to live below your means. Because think about it, Mpo, 50% of your income is covering all your living expenses, right? Yeah, yeah. Your wants are things you can do without. So you can tweak and change as and when you please. For instance, when I was wanting to buy my investment property, right, I decided to completely discontinue my wants for 6 months. And increased my savings and my investment pool, just so that I can have a deposit, you know, at a quicker pace than I would have if I was using the 50-30-20 rule. Again, personal finances are personal. That's why it's important to sit down and purpose in your heart and decide, I am going to live or 50% or 70%, depending on what we spoke about in our initial conversation. What is the vision? What are my financial goals, and how am I going to get there?
Sure.
Yeah.
We are joined on the line. If you have just joined us, it is 657 a.m. You are on Radio Pulpit this afternoon. We are on 657 a.m. Joined on the line by financial coach at MoneySense, Thendotlo, a creator and financial coach. Sure. Now, where will this money come from? And I'm sure you hear this a lot. I'm barely making it. I'm sure every time you talk about, you touch this topic, you know, this comes up a lot.
It does. It does. And a lot of us think, you know, money will come from, you know, far away places. Yeah. And it's not like that at all. I always say, look within, you know. First of all, if you think about how a budget basically is structured, right? So you've got your income and you've got your expenses. If the question is, where will the money come from, right? You would want to, first of all, if you look at the income component, right, you would want to ordinarily increase your income, or you would want to decrease your expenses so that there is that, you know, that that remainder, that margin that will be able to afford you the opportunity to, you know, have this stash or have this emergency fund, start building this emergency fund. So if we were to start off with income, increasing your income, like I said, look within, use your existing skills. Mpo, you're a singer. Outside of just being a radio presenter, you're a singer. Think about the skills that you possess now that you can use to generate additional streams of income. I'm an accountant, right? But I've got tax. I've got experience with bookkeeping. I've got experience with doing tax returns, for instance. There are people who can plait hair. There are people who can tutor. You know, there are websites, and I learned about this during COVID, that there are tutoring websites. There is someone sitting in Vietnam who wants you to teach them how to speak English. Hmm. This English that we speak very well here in South Africa. And they're willing to pay dollars.
Sure.
You know? And if we are to translate these dollars into rands, that's a lot of money. Even if it's 500 rand, that 500 rand can service a debt, or it can service, in this case, because we're talking about emergency funds, it can service, you know, increasing or building your emergency fund. Or you can even sell something. You know, I know my mom sold Tupperware and Justine and the Everest Lane for the longest time, just so that we were more comfortable. Mm. So this was not for us to move from being poor to rich, just to be in a more comfortable place, basically. Mm. Right. The second layer is the expenses, right? You can decide to then reduce your expenses. And again, this is something that is not far out. You just need to look at your bank statement. You just need to look at your budget. There are subscriptions that we have, right, that we do not use. The services that we have subscribed for, we do not use. I know if I make an example with TV, you guys will say, no, that's a lie. In my life, yes, I have TV subscription, but I don't use it. Gym membership. I remember I had a gym membership. I went twice, Mpo. Twice, and I paid it for 2 years.
I don't know why. I don't know why I'm making, because I've also been in that position. Yeah, anyway.
So you've got subscriptions. You've got subscriptions. These subscriptions where they say do a trial for 30 days and then you forget.
Yeah.
You forget to discontinue that trial, because after 30 days, you're going to start paying, right? And it just continues in the background. But if you don't have an understanding or an intimate relationship with that budget, guys, with that bank statement, you'll never know that you're paying for things that you don't use, right? Mm. When I was in the job market, for instance, I had a LinkedIn subscription, LinkedIn Premium or something like that, that allowed me to have access to certain things that the people who have LinkedIn free do not have, right? As soon as I got a job, I forgot to discontinue. But as soon as I went back to my statements, because that's what I do every single month, I was just like, hey, hang on. I'm paying for LinkedIn, for a LinkedIn service that I'm not using. I need to discontinue this. So again, you know, I'm trying to also in this conversation emphasize just the importance of having those money conversations, those money teas with self every single month, to understand what is going on. Being a good steward to the resources that God has blessed us with. The other thing is wasteful expenditure. when I started working, and actually when I started this journey of just, you know, educating myself around my personal finances, I did an exercise on my budget, and I talk about this on my YouTube channel about just going through my bank statement, right? And I learned that I was spending almost between 4,000 and 6,000 rand on eating out. Sure. Before I stayed at home. I stayed at home. I didn't even cook for that matter. But I was just living my best life in Sandton, sure. Guys, in Waterfall. Exactly. So identify wasteful expenditure. For me, it was food. For you, it might not be food. But it's important for you to sit down with that bank statement and understand what that line item looks like and to improve, right?
Yeah.
Or even downgrade the regular shops you go to. Downgrade the grocery. It won't kill you to move from, I don't know, eating cool beans to beans that were made by, let's say, a Pick and Pay, for instance. You know, those no-name brands.
Hmm.
Even if it's just for 6 months. Remember, guys, you're not downgrading for the rest of your life. You're downgrading or sacrificing now that you can ball later.
And you know what I like?
Even clothes.
Yeah. And you know what I like about this when I attend is that I'm telling you, the next time I'm at a shopping center or I'm buying something, I will remember these things. I know there's a coach as well I was using. This is for a different show, but on issues of money. And she'd talk about, you know, this brand of coffee that we all like. And Versa.
Jacobs. Why are
you Jacobs? You better make sure Jacobs will give us money. We're not Tendo.
There goes my sponsorship opportunities with
gone,
Jacobs.
Gone. So, and she used to say, and my sister and I would always talk about it, because she always tell you, Manchare, listen, if you can't afford it, lula, you know, and buy the other one. If you think that one is not good enough, think about it. Exactly, you know, but if you can comfortably afford it, okay, go ahead. But if you know very well that, like you're saying, it's just for that period of time, and you know that you're saving up for something important, you're working out your budget.
Exactly.
You know, it's worth the sacrifice. So I like this. I know your voice will be ringing in our heads, every individual that's listening, when we do our shopping.
When you do your shopping. Yes. Yeah, no, I'm glad.
Absolutely. So maybe just in wrapping up, what are the vehicles, or, you know, where do I then put this money, the best place.
So in my example, before, I talked about how I put it in my home loan.
Mm-hmm.
And this was because at the time there was no saving account that was going to give me the return that was going to be worth it. Because again, remember, the purpose of this is to just preserve your money. You don't want your money to grow here. You just want it to retain its value when you need it, right? Yeah, do the things that you want it to do when you need it. So here, the issue is not for it to grow. You just want it to at least be in an account that, you know, at least beats inflation, you know, because that's why you wouldn't put it under a mattress, because if you put it under a mattress, chances are, I was actually giving an example that there was a time when KFC Streetwise 2 was $9.95, something like that. I was in South Africa last year, June. It was like 30 rand or something.
It's above that.
It's above, you see that. So yeah, that's just showing you how inflation works. So you just want to put it in a, let's say, a money market account. I put it in my home loan. And again, it also helped me by putting it in my home loan, in that it reduced the installments that I was paying. Because when you put additional money in your home loan, what that does is that it reduces your capital. And in essence, it reduces the interest that you would be paying to service the bond on a monthly basis. And the nice thing about that is any money that you pay that is in excess of your bond installment, your monthly bond installment, you have the right to access. And a lot of us don't know this. A lot of us put in money, extra monies into our home loan, into our bonds, and without purpose, right? Mm-hmm. So there are those that put money for purposes of, okay, I want to capitalize it, so I don't want access to it. But there's another option to say, okay, I want access to it when an emergency occurs. So that's another vehicle that you can use to put your money to put your money aside for emergencies. Mm. So the other thing that I found to be something that tripped a lot of us just in my coaching room with my clients is that we want to put our emergency fund in that day-to-day transactional account that we have. And I promise you, every time you open your banking app and you see that amount, you think you've got money again. It's like the overdraft. It's like the overdraft. And let's say you've got 10,000 rand and 10,000 rand is an overdraft. The balance that you see is 20. That is not your money.
That is not your money.
20,000 rand is not your money. Only 10,000 is your money. But it is by design, you know. And let me not even smash, you know, the designers of these apps. It is by design that they do it, because they know the more you see something, guys, the more you see something, the more you believe it, the more you want to act on it. Mm. It's just a law of life, right? The more you see that you've got, you know, this 10,000 rand somewhere in a savings account that you see every day, you're going to think you've got money. And when you walk, I don't know, in the streets of Diamond Walk there by Sandton, you're going to think you've got money and you want to use it. So you want to protect yourself against yourself, right? So say the minister sometime in South Africa. You want to protect yourself and put it away where you don't see it, but you want to put it away in an account that you will be able to access immediately when you need the funds. So stay away from about 7 days, about 32-day notice accounts, because I know that you can actually access them immediately. But again, if you do, you're going to pay penalties. And I'm not in the business of encouraging you to lose money. We are not here to lose money, guys. We're here to make money. So just put it in a money market account, put it in your home loan if you have. Yeah. So yeah, that's just my 2 cents on that, just in closing.
Sure. Thank you so, so much, Tendo, for this. We really, really appreciate it. We've learned a lot. Thank you. Much yes. Appreciated. How do we get a hold of you?
You can get hold of me on my social media platform. So on Instagram, it's Tendo_Tlou, T-L-O-U, as well as on Facebook. On Facebook, I'm also Tendo Tlou. And I also have a YouTube channel called Money Sense, one word, with Miss T and Mpo. Actually, also launching. I'm launching my podcast. I am so excited, yay, so nervous, all of those feelings in one on Monday. So I'm launching my first episode on Monday.
Wow,
where
beautiful.
I'll be basically having these conversations of this nature in more depth, because you know, in a radio interview, it's very quick,
yeah,
you know, if you know what I mean. So, yeah.
Sure.
Very excited.
Lovely. Congratulations on that. We'll definitely look out for it. Thank you so much. Thank you, Tendo. Do enjoy what's left of your... Is it still afternoon, that side? Yeah, afternoon, right?
My afternoon, yes. The afternoon has just started. It's 12:05, yes.
Yay, bo. 5 minutes after 2 this side of the world.
Yeah.
All right, lovely, bye, Tendo. You too.
Reach your customers in the car, at the office, at home, or wherever they are, night or day. Through advertising with Radio Pulpit, you can reach a large, unique, and loyal audience in a most affordable way. With over 500,000 people on our various platforms, from Gauteng to the Cape, you simply cannot go wrong. So advertise today. Contact us on 012-334-1339. Or for advertising packages that we offer, go to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Terms and conditions apply.
Share our passion for life on 657 AM.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives in the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.